you know, getting a little bit back to normal. And so we'll have maybe communion in the building. Hope at Home, welcome. Glad that you're here. So we've been studying the book of Ephesians. And by the way, let me just say this. If you don't have a current Bible study going on right now in your life, go to the church app. A whole lot of people are going through the Bible in a year, and it's just super great to see your comments. It's super great to be part of that. So we're going through right now for the next coming weeks the book of Ephesians. Now, as I was thinking about this morning, I think it was 7 years ago, Sharon and I went to Hawaii. And as we're flying in, I mean, it's looking beautiful. From where we stayed, I could see the water, and it was so beautiful. But I grew up by the ocean, and I knew, I mean, I brought my own skin diving equipment, and I thought, we are going snorkeling, because once you get beneath the surface, it is just so beautiful. I have two pictures that I want you to see here. One is me in my gear, and then check this out. Yeah, like I was underwater just getting completely fried on the back. And the other thing about underwater is I noticed that because of my size, fish were congregating underneath me, you know, because of the shadow. And I'm like, hold on. That's not quite what I was thinking. But, you know, here's the thing. It's one thing to see the ocean. It's another thing to get a little deeper. And I started thinking about the book of Ephesians and where we are. It's one thing to know about God. I mean, in America, how can you not know about God? We celebrate Easter every year. But there's another thing that's so much more excellent and so much more beautiful and so important is to not just know about God, but to know God in your life. And we choose, you know, do I want to wade in the shallow end with God, or do I really want to let him become the CEO of my life and take over? And I want to dig a little deeper. We've been in the first chapter of Ephesians, and we talked about the sentence is the longest sentence in the entire Greek language. I mean, it's just, so we're going to do the second part of that, but this is so good. It starts off here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." We talked about that before. "Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Now here's verse 5. And for some people, they get a little hung up here because of this word. "Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise and glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved." You know, this word predestined is an interesting word. It means to be appointed beforehand. It means that there's been a boundary set, and this is what is going to happen. And the idea of what Paul is saying here is that there's a boundary marker that's set for the believer, that you are to be adopted into God's family. And when we think about the word predestined here, it has more to do with the what than it has to do with the who. God has chosen us, and he has a predetermined destiny. His plan is that we become full-fledged members of Jesus Christ, who's the agent of that adoption. Now, adoption is, it's a pretty unique thing. And I was not adopted, even though my brother and sister had me convinced as a child that I was adopted. And you know, the reality is that my mom gave birth and she got what she got. It's me. She didn't have a choice, right? But adoption means there's a choice. It means that somebody chose the one who is being adopted. And think about this. God chose you. He predestined you before the first clock ticked time that you would be part of his family. He chose you. And this is huge. He didn't have to choose you. And it makes a difference. So a few years back, I remember reading this little story, and it's kind of where I grew up in Anaheim. And there's a lady, she was walking past the Crystal Cathedral, and it was on her daily walk, and she said, sometime I'm just going to try this church. So one Sunday, she said, hey, today's the day. So she goes into church on that Sunday, and you know, it's just massive. You know, she saw thousands of people, and she was in awe over the organ, and then the windows, you know, open up, and it's like the heavens are invited in, and it was just incredible. And so service ends, and this woman looks to a younger lady next to her, and she said, wasn't that wonderful? And then this lady, Mavis, says, are you from this area? And she said, no, I'm from the Midwest, and I'm actually here on a mission. I'm here to find my birth mom. There was a pause, and then this came out. I know how you feel, said Mavis. A long time ago, I had to give up a little girl for adoption, and I didn't want to. Another pause. The young woman looked deeply into her eyes, and she said, do you know the birthday of that child? And Mavis said, of course I do. And cautiously, she says, October 30th. The little girl, younger lady, gasped and said, that's my birthday. They shared stories, and there were so many similarities that they actually, I don't know exactly what they did, they got tested, and they found out that Mavis was, in fact, that girl's birth mom. I mean, what are the odds of that? It's kind of one of God's, you know, God's winks from heaven and says, you go to church and wow, look at what happens here. And let me deal with one other thing in terms of this whole predestined thing. It doesn't ever mean here that God chose, let's see, you know, this side of the room to go to heaven, this side of the room, we have no idea, and this side of the room, shady, you know, it's not good. You know, God never did that. I mean, one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible, and some of you guys already know, Jim, you quote John 3:16 all the time. You're exactly right. And here's why. Because who did Jesus die for? Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God didn't say, yeah, yes, 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 you know, like duck, duck, goose, you know, no, 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 yes. You know, you're trying to chase God around. Please let me in. It's not that at all. The scripture says that he did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. And then the book of Romans, it described everyone who calls on the name of the Lord. Who is that? Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So not only are we called to be adopted, man, I just love this, and it has to do with communion. The price of our adoption was what? Heaven being emptied of God the Son. He died so that we might have life. And the scripture goes on in verse 7. It says this, in him, it's talking about Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. You know, one of the most significant words in the Bible is the word redemption. In this context, it kind of takes on the meaning of paying a ransom. and then having somebody set free. You and me, we don't do what we ought to do all the time. I wish I did. You wish you did. But in his goodness, he said, I'm going to pay the ransom for you. And I remember living in Iowa. We came back from Colorado. I had all of these fireworks, but they're illegal. Now they're not, but they were. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go ahead and call the police department, and I'm going to ask them what the fine is, and I'm going to ask them if I can prepay it. I mean, that way, when they come out, I'll just have paid for the ticket, because in the little town, like, it would go in the newspaper, and it just never looks good when your pastor's in the newspaper for breaking the law. So I call them up. Police department, hey, how you doing? Good, good. Yeah, can I help you? Yeah. Fireworks, they're illegal, right? Yes, they are. How much is the fine? It's $50. I said, okay, I would like to come down and prepay my fine. He goes, what? I said, I'm going to prepay my fine so that I can shoot off fireworks. He said, wait a minute. You want to come to the police station and pay to break the law? I said, no, don't look at it like that. He's like, well, how am I supposed to look at it? I said, I don't want to be in the paper. And if you already know I paid the fine, we're good. He said, no, you cannot prepay to break the law. Well, so then the next thing I could do, I called one of my elders and I said, hey, can we do this at your house and you do it? And he's like, why? I said, it doesn't look as bad if you're in the paper as if I'm in the paper. And you know what Jesus did? He's like, you know what? I'm going to prepay the fine. And it sticks. He's not breaking the law, dying for you, whether or not you say, I love you or I hate you. He's fulfilling the law, knowing that there is an entire universe he predestined to love him. And there's going to be some people who actually say, I want to be part of your family. So he dies for every single person, knowing that some of us don't want to live on the top of the water. We want to go deeper in life. We want to have meaning in life. But in order to do that, we need to be connected to God Almighty. And the only way to do that is to have God the Son die on our behalf. Matthew records this, and whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. I mean, how great is that? You were predestined to have the forgiveness of your sins. I mean, think about that. You were predestined to have God forgive you through his Son. In verse 7, it says this, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made abound towards us in wisdom and prudence. Goes down to verse 9. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according, and this gets a little cumbersome. This whole verse is cumbersome. It's too long. Paul's in prison writing this. I don't know. You know, there's times like when I'm typing my sermon, I shouldn't even say this, but it's true. There's times like after lunch, I'll be typing my sermon, and all of a sudden I'll wake up. And there will be like, you know, 400 like P or Q just across it. But I'm like, I fell asleep during my sermon. And then I always go, I'm so sorry, Hope Church. Hopefully I can refine a little better. This is what Paul had to do. I mean, hey, I'm just going to write this verse. I'm in prison. I fell asleep. And somehow he just wrote. And he just never stopped. So it gets a little cumbersome. But if you take a deep breath and you get under the surface, it's unbelievable. Having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. Now, if you're just going, what? Yeah, it's like eating too much at one time. This sometimes just doesn't work. There's this thing with this mystery. What is a mystery? This is what's so great about Jesus coming. It's not a mystery like, oh, I don't know, you know, clue, give me a clue, can we find this out? It's a truth that's been tucked away until the appointed time. Like the people in the Old Testament, there was a foreshadowing. They knew that the Messiah was coming, but Jesus had been having to wait until the proper time. And so now Jesus has come, and the proper time is to boom. Wait. God's plan has been revealed. His plan throughout this entire book is that you live beneath the surface, connected to your Creator, God Almighty. And the world opens up in a way that you could never see in the natural eye. I mean, it's amazing. You actually can live on earth and then have a little taste of heaven at the same time. It's kind of a, some of it's now, but yet it's not all here. But we can get a glimpse, we can get a taste of heaven. Because of what Jesus did. It goes on and it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who are first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, now check this out, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Again, this is just a super long sentence. But what it is saying here as we kind of try to unpack these verses, you were predestined to have a relationship with God. You were predestined to have your sins forgiven. And by the way, the Holy Spirit seals that. I mean, this is unbelievable. The word seal here, it indicates a security and an authentic a seal. Christ does it, and the Holy Spirit has sealed it, and it is sealed. I don't know if we can fully understand this. Like, nothing lasts here. Like we say, yeah, this is like fully secure. But nothing kind of is. And so to understand something that could be so long-term and never change is a little bit difficult. One scholar kind of puts it like this. Paul drew from the past, present, and future together. God the Father of eternity past chose us to be in Christ, holy and blameless. He predestined us to be adopted, pouring out his grace to us in Christ. God the Son, in history past, redeemed us through his blood, bringing forgiveness and a new understanding of him. In the present, we have been sealed by God's gift, the Holy Spirit, a living guarantee of an inheritance to come. Check this out. Somehow, I don't know how, you and me with all of God's people have been the focus of God's attention since the beginning. God the Father from the past said, I'm going to send my son. And then God the Son from the past said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to forgive you and I'm going to provide redemption for you. And then the Holy Spirit says, and I'm going to seal this. So nothing or nobody can take this away. And why is that? Because you matter that much to God. Several years ago, I married a really special couple. And the man, his first wife had some struggles, and she took her own life and left him with a couple of teenagers. And then there's a gal, and her spouse left her for another woman and ended up being divorced, and she has a couple of kids, and it was just really hard. Both of them, it was really hard, and I had the privilege of just walking with them through a super tough time, and because of the choices that were made, they no longer had those past choices. And so what I wanted them to understand is that things have happened, and now here are two individuals. You can't change the past, that there's nothing you can do, but what does the future look like? In other words, you both have all kinds of choices. Yeah, I know life was super hard, and nobody's diminishing that. And I remember at their wedding, I said this. I said, now, and I looked at him in the eyes and I said, she's your first choice. And I looked at her and I said, and he's your first choice. Because you can't like take back the past. I mean, it happened. And I told their kids that too. I said, nobody wants to diminish when life is super hard on people. But I said, now realize mom and dad are making a new first choice. And I get to see them on Facebook, and there's bunches of grandkids, and they're still happily married. And then the reality is this. Sometimes life doesn't go as it's planned, but God can still be with us. God has still chosen us. He still has predestined us to know him and to be forgiven. No matter how we have lived, no matter how life has lived, we are God's first choice. We don't think about that much. Today on the way to church, I said, God, these scriptures are hard to, like, figure out. God, I need your help. And I said, God, I don't even know if all my life in ministry I've been able to explain this stuff. And I was having a little pity party for myself on the way to church. I'm still trying to lose weight, and I knew they were going to have donuts, and I'm watching people eat donuts. You know, I mean, have you ever had a pity party for yourself? And the rest of you are liars, but that's okay. And I felt like, Jim, this is for you too. It's for you too, Jim. Listen to what you're saying. All of us have been chosen. There are times in life when we feel like life has dished us out really bad. There's times in life when we've dished ourselves really bad. And yet, you're God's first choice. You matter. I'm repeating this in a couple of ways because we're going to, in just a moment or two, receive communion. And when we do that, I want you to have it just run through your mind. I was predestined for forgiveness. I was predestined to be adopted into God's family. And because of that, there's a choice. I was sealed by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus' blood shed for you and me paid it all. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. I've kind of rifled through this, and there's so much to it. God, would you help us to understand maybe just one thing? We matter to you. We were predestined by you to be not only forgiven, but to be kids of your glory. We have been sealed in the Holy Spirit. God, as we take this last moment to pray, would you come into our hearts? Would you remind us, Lord, remind us how much you've done on our behalf and that you really do want to have a relationship with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's stand together.